Friday. Doesn't have as much as a ring to it, but it is exciting. Boom. For some. Allie and James Simmons, nurse practitioner. I don't know what your plans are this weekend, James, but I have my in-laws coming into town. So that Friday feeling is not as jolly as it. No, I'm just kidding. I don't mind them.
I was going to say, is this one of those classic like, my in-laws? Or are you like, no, I'm cool with my in-laws?
No, I'm fine with them. We have a bit of a history in the sense that when Katie started dating me, I was the first girl that she had ever dated.
Uh-huh.
And they're very old school San Francisco. They're not like progressive San Franciscans. They're old ass Catholic.
Gotcha.
Like Joseph Westlake every day, kind of like North Beach, old Irish Catholic of San Franciscans.
Gotcha.
So it was a process. I mean, 11 years and counting. But they finally, I feel like if I was a dude, I would be just their dream come true.
Oh, really?
And I'm like, I get a few points docked because I have boobs, but I'm pretty good in their book now. It's right. Been a process, though. I mean,
it's taken 11 years for them to get over your vagina. But other than that, we're good.
Yeah. When you put it like that, it's very disturbing. But yes, I agree. And I do enjoy talking to them and having dinner. It'll be nice because we haven't seen anybody. We haven't seen our parents in so long that even with all of the baggage that comes with the meeting and the greeting and the hanging out and trying to keep them entertained for the weekend because they don't really like much of anything.
Oh.
All of that doesn't matter because I'm just happy that anyone is coming.
Now, are you guys going through the whole thing? Or are they staying in a separate place? Or are you like, did everybody get tested?
Staying in a hotel. Well, I asked, I was like, are we going to, I believe they are getting tested. And I said, are they staying here? And Katie said, God, no.
COVID or not, they're not staying here.
Well, I think that it's a little safer for them to stay contained in their hotel and then we meet them places.
Ah, got it.
I think that's going to be the plan. So, but it's going to be nice. It'll be relaxing. It'll be good to see family. But I ran into something last night. And when you watch a show with Chris, what is your agreement? Because every couple has an agreement. So many roommates have an agreement with this too. Watching shows that you both are watching, but then watching them separately and moving on to a series when you're on a different episode, you know, like say you're watching, I don't know, this is so hypothetical, but Umbrella Academy.
so hypothetical.
And you're halfway through the series together and then you're running around all day because you have a busy job and then you come back home and you realize that your wife has watched four episodes without you.
Dope.
And that doesn't even bother me that much anymore, but she has now tasked me with keeping up all week.
Oh.
She's like, well, now it's yours. Where are you at with Umbrella Academy? I'm like, nowhere. I don't have time to watch anything. And she was like, well, that's your loss. I'm like, what?
What?
So what is your agreement, if anything? I would imagine you have one.
So we kind of do. Here's the thing. I luck out a little bit in this category because Chris is not the biggest TV watcher on earth. In fact, I've been the one that sort of drags him to watch TV. The only things he's ever really, really gotten excited about, he did finally get excited about the last two seasons of Game of Thrones. But it took me that many years to get him to watch Game of Thrones. So that was definitely a no-no. Like there was absolutely no way, come hell or high water, we were watching that. Marvelous Mrs. Maisel was another one. We had to watch that together. And most recently, it's been Drag Race. Like he's completely upset. I feel like he's watching Drag Race from like 10 years ago. Like he's completely obsessed with RuPaul's Drag Race, everything about it. I cannot go one millisecond ahead of him. Like if he pees, he's sometimes like, I think it's you or Katie, one of you will get up and go to the bathroom in the middle of a movie, right? And come back and be like, oh, whatever. No, he's like, pause it. I have to pee. Like, I don't want to miss anything.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I am so the opposite of that, to the point where I've given up on catching up to Umbrella Academy, and now I'm just watching it with Katie, and I've missed like 7 episodes, and I'm just like, all right,
I don't know what's going on.
And she was like, some crazy stuff happened on this episode, do you want me to just show it to you? I was like, fine. So she just showed me like the 10 whatever. Minutes of like some crazy stuff that happened, and I was like, whoa. And then she was like, all right, so now you're caught up. And then I was like, okay. And then 15 minutes into that episode, I was like, who the hell's that? And she was like, oh, that's a different part you missed. I was like, okay. So I think for me, I'm lucky in the sense that I don't really care about it, but there are people that will get, strong, like things being thrown, cops maybe, I mean, just authorities getting involved, all kinds of just weird stuff when you watch a show without your partner's permission.
Yeah. Oh, it is a big deal. But this is why I feel like I'm sort of lucky in that we have one show at a time. Everything else I want to watch, and he also falls asleep every night at like 8:15. Well, I'm naturally a night owl, even though we get up early. So I'm like, I got another 2 hours. Sweet. So I'm going to watch whatever the heck I want to watch. So then I go watch all those murder crime things you've got me into, or like unsolved mysteries murder. Or my
did
new.
Did you finish Jeffrey Epstein?
Yes, I did. Oh my God, that's crazy, right? But like, he wanted nothing to do with that. So I would just wait until he fell asleep, and then I'd switch over and watch whatever. So best of both worlds, I get to watch what I want to watch basically on my own timeline. And then our one show that he can commit to, we watch together, and I'm cool with that.
Yeah. Well, when we get back, we are going to delve into the deep, dark web. We've done it once before on Drop the Subject.
And
it made James very uncomfortable.
This was not on the schedule. Allie.
It is not on the schedule, but I'm going. This is a hat trick. I don't even know if that's a sports reference. I don't even know what it means. When we get back,
no,
we're going to venture into the dark web like with a game. Yes. Can James guess the price of things that you can buy on the deep, dark web? No. Things that are very, very
exist.
Legal.
It's all
meat market. That's a whole category. But this week we are going
market?
To focus. So we're going to focus on exotic animals when we come back.
Drop the Subject. The new Channel Q.
Yes. There's the clear net. That's what you normies call it. And then
it's called the clear net?
Yeah, that's the vanilla, you know, the internet that all of you call.
Why can't we just call it the internet?
Because it's the clear net and the dark net. The depths of the dark net know no bounds.
No.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, they do. Their bounds are here. I dropped the subject. It needs to stop.
We're going to do things a little differently. We played Dark Web Prices Right one time. This is going to be a little different. Our dark web game this week is going to be, I'm going to list 3 items that you can buy on the dark web, and James Simmons, you have to put them in order from most expensive to least expensive.
I don't like this whatsoever. For the record, I'm putting this out there. Whenever this is one of those things that's going to come back to haunt me, right? They're going to be like, oh, you're running for senator, Dr. James. Or like, oh, Dr. James Simmons has owned, you know, CNN special. And they're going to be like, oh, Dr. James is the new Surgeon General or whatever. Yeah. And they're going to be like, do you remember that time you played Dark Web and you were laughing about people's
limbs?
Remember
when you bid on cannibal meat?
Right? They're gonna be like, remember you put priced in order, like people's organs?
Tracking devices on people's cars.
Do you remember that? I think I'd already done enough in my past, but now, thanks, Allie, you're making it worse.
Yes, I think last time we played this, you bid on the price of an elbow, a human elbow. But so this is going to have a category that I think you'll like.
Okay.
We're going to just do animals, okay? Exotic animals.
No.
All of them are alive.
The little bubbas.
The only thing that's, well, I guess it's still alive. What do you think, just as a tester, how much do you think an ostrich egg would go for on the dark web?
Oh, leave the ostrich eggs alone. I mean, I guess
That is incorrect.
that is a wrong answer. Goodbye. I guess people eat them. Like, I think maybe I've even had ostrich egg before. An ostrich egg. I don't know if it's that
just
rare.
One.
Hundred? Couple hundred?
You can get an ostrich egg on the dark web for between $30 and $50 online. Pretty good deal.
Oh, wow.
Green purple spotted pit viper, on the other hand, will kick you up to about $250. And then a baby ringtail lemur would run you about $2,400. But that is not the question. Those are not the official items. Are you ready to hear your official items, James?
All right. I'm ready. replay this awful game.
Here is your first item. It is two Black Panther cubs. There is quite a market for big cats these days. They're small now. They're only 3 months old, but panthers usually get to be about 250 pounds, 6 to 7 feet long.
That's me.
This is one male and one female, so it's sort of like your Adam and Eve situation if you'd like to start your own big cat's empire.
Leave them alone.
You're so upset. All right. And then your second item is this is an animal that a lot of people I know would like to have. And
just a little puppy.
No, a totally illegal adult male spider monkey. This would require permits and things that you probably can't afford or don't want to look into. Spider monkeys usually found in the rainforest of South and Central America. According to the specific seller, he's real sweet. He's currently available at a facility in Tennessee, so I imagine you'd have to go take a trip across the country to pick him up. But you would have yourself your very own monkey. They eat nuts, fruits, and leaves, and spiders, so that's a pretty affordable diet.
They could eat. That's great. Leave the spider monkey. How did spider monkey get to Tennessee in the first place? This is the issue.
I don't know if you really want to go down the rabbit hole of tracing.
No, we don't want to go down that because it's going to give me answers that I don't want to. Okay, whatever. What's the last one? Let's get this thing over with.
The last one.
Allie Johnson, dark web queen.
Is three bear cubs. This is part of a blowout sale. Heavily discounted. Their names are Jeff, Wiggles, and Puffy.
Oh,
they were born together as part of the same litter. All three of these amazingly cute bear cubs are now on sale. They must go together as a group to a very caring family, is what they say, with plenty of love to give.
The hell are you going to get three bear cubs at one time? Like, where are you going to put them?
Yeah, like, do you live in a palace? What are you supposed to do? Seriously. Or maybe you are just a zoo.
Yeah,
like,
that's
do zoos
maybe.
Just do all of their animal shopping on the dark web?
On the dark web. Okay, that makes me feel a little bit better.
And they're like, we found her in the jungle and she was injured, so we took her in. So it's really like, we bought her on the dark web.
Right. Wink, wink. And then they make up that whole story that's on that placard outside of their little cage, whatever. I mean, zoos are kind of problematic anyway, but zoos to some degree do really good work and they save the little babies. So maybe they went on the dark web and the zoos are buying up all the babies. Okay, that's the story we're going to go with, Allie. The zoos are saving all the little babies on the dark web.
On the dark web, yeah. They're making... Okay, they've been vaccinated. So there's three bear cubs, one adult male spider monkey, and two panther cubs. What order would you place them in from most to least expensive?
Spider monkey.
Is least.
Black panthers. Bears.
Bears is most expensive.
Three spider bears. Monkey. No, I'm going to go Black Panther most expensive. Spider monkey second most expensive. Bears least expensive.
Wow. You think the bears are the least expensive?
Because they're more common. You're going to be all dark to be get some bears. It's just, we live in California. Just go down the street. I got some hills behind my house. Probably some brown bears up there. You guys want to come hang out?
Okay. All right. Interesting. Well, that is what James is locking in with. He says that the panther cubs are the most expensive, followed by the spider monkey, followed by the three bears. And our Goldilocks, a.k.a. our contestant, has placed his answers. We will find out if he is right after this.
Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
Well, if that radio show was too goofy and the other radio show was too sad, this one may be just right. And yes, I'm making Goldilocks and the three bears references because...
Very good.
Three bears was one of the items that you had to name the price of, James, in our dark web game here on Drop the Subject on the new Channel Q. Thank you for listening. If you missed anything, download that podcast at Drop the Subject wherever you find your podcast and get at us on social media at DTS Show.
And I feel like this bear got it right. Ha, ha, ha. Get it? Yeah. This bear figured out that three. Although you were really surprised with my guesses, I think that spider monkeys are a rare thingy dingy to have around that you should not have around, by the way. Don't buy spider monkeys. Don't go on the dark web. So we start with the most expensive being the Black Panther brother and sister cubs. Then the spider monkey. Don't do this. At all. And the three brown bears? Were they brown bears? Yeah.
Yes, they are. They're three brown bears. Thank you for asking. And their names again are Jeff, Wiggles, and Puffy. And as far as I know, Goldilocks did not break and enter into their house and kidnap them. I don't know where they came from, but they can be yours for a price. Let me reveal the actual prices of these items for our dark web game.
Oh,
so
very good,
you said that the Least expensive was the bear cubs.
Yes.
I am sorry to tell you that the least expensive is the two Black Panther cubs.
Apparently, what?
Those are pretty easy to find these days. Everyone loves big cats, so there's a lot of demand already, which means that they've been popularized, which drives the price down. The second most expensive is the adult male spider monkey.
Yeah, I got that one right.
$14,000.
$13,000. Good Lord. I mean, regardless, it should be $0. We should be leaving the damn spider monkeys alone.
Yeah,
damn
just let them go eat spiders. That's what they want to do. All right. And then obviously the number one most expensive is those three bear cubs. $17,900 for three bear cubs.
See, this is not an apples to apples sort of thing, though. We got one of this, two of that, three of that. You're totally throwing me off. I don't like the dark web game anyway. I feel like this was a setup. I normally win every game here and drop the subject. If you're a new listener, you might as well just change my name to Dr. Winner because I dominate all games. So I think you are just lying and making things up.
Oh,
isn't that what people do on the dark web? Yeah.
I think that's what people do when they lose is that they try and blame.
I am not a sore loser. Nope. Yes, not at all. I am.
Well, stay tuned for next week when we cover stolen vehicles. Okay.
I'm good.
Car stealing on demand. Also
something
you can buy. You know, speaking of stealing, a lot of people feel like they are being robbed right now of a job because, as you know, there are things going on with Uber and Lyft that are very complicated. I know, you know, if you listen to the show on a regular basis, you know that we love rideshare drivers. I used to be a rideshare driver, and we even used to do a segment called Tales from the Lyft.
Welcome to Tales from the Lyft.
Which is usually about weird off-kilter stories that take place in the rideshare world. But what is going on right now with rideshare and the law around independent contractors is kind of crazy. So with rideshare, everybody right now that is a rideshare employee is classified as an independent contractor, meaning that you work for yourself, you don't get any benefits. So a judge has ruled that that is not okay and that all of the rideshare and Lyft drivers need to be made full-time employees. Well, Uber and Lyft are saying we can't afford to do that, especially now in COVID times when there's been a slump in rideshare use. It would be next to impossible for us to actually offer that to our drivers. So Uber and Lyft are appealing the court decision, but they say if they lose the appeal, they would have to possibly, at least in California, shut down potentially until November.
That is really insane. You know, this actually, it's AB 5, Assembly Bill 5 here in California, has actually impacted nurse practitioners as well.
Oh, and that's physicians. Right. Because a lot of you, yeah, you guys,
a lot of us were,
you
were
all, sorry, folks.
Yeah, y'all, right? We're independent contractors. And, you know, it's a big deal when then hospitals have to like bring you on as an employee and do all these other things and you become W-2. It really changed a lot. And a lot of it was unintentional. So this part of the reason they're reviewing this bill now is that they were some unintentional consequences from things like this. And so I am certainly not for Uber and Lyft having to leave California. Their employees, however, or the people that work for them and contract with them do need more protections, however. Although, Ali, did you see that California makes up 16% of all of Lyft's business and 9% of all of Uber's business? Things like that sink companies, man. If profit margins from some companies change between 3 and 5%, they like go into bankruptcy. I cannot imagine Lyft losing 16% of its revenue like that overnight.
Yeah. And, you know, some of these companies, too, have gone public. So, you know, they have stock investors to worry about and keep happy. And there's so many different things at play. But I also think that I don't know about Lyft, but I don't know if Uber is the best with their money.
What, so, bruh? What are you talking about, bruh?
We do parties, bruh. We do holiday parties. What the hell, man? We don't have money for holiday parties?
Uber yacht.
Okay, we'll be Jesse is whispering in our ear, please stop talking. Stop. All right, we'll be back.
Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
Drop the subject. New Channel Q. Ali Johnson, James Simmons, you. Yeah, you. Listen, we are not all about the fear tactics here, but I think sometimes you got to pay a little bit of attention when the man, one of the mans, you know, Dr. Fauci's been the man for a long time now in terms of like infectious diseases and a particular, you know, he's like an idol right now in the United States, at least in the public health world. And there's another guy, Dr. Robert Redfield, who's come under some fire for some things, but he is the director of the CDC. And he had an interview, Ali, with WebMD.
Whoa, really?
Oh, yeah. WebMD is trying to do this whole thing. They're trying to be like a whole, they're trying to be Ask the NP, basically. They're trying to be this whole like resource on the web, and they got videos and interviews and all kinds of stuff. And it's actually great. I mean, I joke. WebMD is a fantastic resource. It can be a little dry sometimes, but it's really, really great.
Okay. I would love to have WebMD on so that we can talk to WebMD and ask WebMD and ask the MP and see.
Do a battle.
Yeah. Battle of the WebMD versus the NP.
And ask the NP. Well, the WebMD, they are able to do things like interview CDC director Dr. Bob Redfield, which I have not done. Although I've met him. I've met him a couple times. He's a very nice guy. I got to grill him
hot?
About...
Is he hotter in person?
No, no. No, he's very smart and very kind. I did get to grill him once about sort of like why PrEP is not available for and cheaper for marginalized populations.
Oh, wow.
So it was good. He had sort of very political answers, but it was good. But anyway, he was on earlier this week and he kind of scared the crap out of everyone because he was like, we're basically in for like the worst fall ever if we don't start doing what we're supposed to.
When John Kennedy said, don't ask what your country can do for you, ask for what you can do for your country, I'm going to try to paraphrase that for your country right now and for the war that we're in against COVID. I'm asking you to do four simple things. Wear a mask, social distance, wash your hands, and be smart about crowds. You do those four things that will bring this outbreak down. But if we don't do that, as I said back last April, this could be the worst fall from a public health perspective we've ever had.
Alrighty then.
Ever in all of history.
Ever well, in all of history.
Can you imagine how frustrating, and I imagine you probably do know what this feels like because you being in the health field, you probably give people advice or direction on how to take care of themselves every single day. And then you watch people just not do those things over and over and over again, right? So even when I go to physical therapy and they go, here are your exercises. And I go, great. And then I leave and I go,
why can I still not use my shoulder?
Yeah. And then I come back and they're like, you're doing exercises? And I was like, F you. No, I do try to do my stuff. But it must be so frustrating to work for the CDC, be in the limelight all the time, tell people the same stuff over and over and over again. For the past 5 months, they've been saying those four things. Wash your damn hands, wear a damn mask, social distance, and don't go to places where there are large crowds. It seems pretty simple, and it's something they've been saying over and over and over again, and yet they have to sit there and watch everybody say that it's a myth, that it's blown out of proportion, that wearing a mask is taking away my freedoms, the freedom to breathe movement. I mean, the irony. I can't even.
It is quite ironic, isn't it?
To have all of these people be like, I can't even breathe. And it's like, yeah, what?
Guess what happens when you get COVID? You know, the people go so far with that, Ali, to not wear a mask as to even being an individual who is committed your life to protecting and serving, like Florida Sheriff Billy Woods, who refuses to be part of a cover-up, Ali. This is his story. So he's forbidding his deputies and staffers from wearing face masks at work.
Oh, that's right. I heard about this. Forbidden.
Yeah, forbid them. He says, now I can already hear the whining. And just so you know, I did not make this decision easily. I've waited out for the past 2 weeks. But he doesn't want to be a part of the world's greatest conspiracy theory ever. So he is not letting his deputies wear masks on the job. That is great. I wonder why men don't wear masks, Allie.
Well, it's funny you say that because we are going to be on with Dr. Jen next, and she's going to explain the psychology of why people get pissy about masks. So stay tuned for that. We'll be right back with Dr. Jen.
Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
Drop the Subject with Allie and James Simmons, our nurse practitioner, a doctor, but once a week, well, a couple times a week, we bring other doctors on. But Dr. Jen is a licensed psychotherapist that we love talking to every Friday. She is the author of many books, including The Relationship Fix, which sits on both of our bookshelves and hopefully yours as well. Also, writer of a weeklyinstyle.com column called Hump Day with Dr. Jen, where she answers all of your sex, love, and relationship questions and anything mental health related. Dr. Jen, how are you?
I am doing pretty well. I'm hanging in there, yep. You know, midst of a pandemic. Doing my best to practice what I preach.
Absolutely. And it's always good to follow Dr. Jen too at Dr. Jen Mann, because she shows you directly how she practices what she preaches. And, you know, we've had so many conversations about mask wearing and what is it about some people who just don't want to wear a mask. And we saw this great HuffPo article about the psychology behind specifically men and why they refuse to wear masks. We just wanted to get your thoughts on it in general about why you think people don't want to wear masks, why it's such a threat, and why is it such a threat for men specifically?
And it's really interesting. And, you know, as much as we want to say, like, there's no difference between men and women and, you know, all that sort of stuff, the truth is that gender psychology studies are showing that men tend to think differently than women, and especially heterosexual men in particular, which this article seems to kind of focus on, and that typically men view things in more of a hierarchical way. In other words, they look at who's on top, who has the power, whereas women tend to look at things in more of a communal way, in more of a, like, we're in this together, we're working together, whether it is work or home or anyplace else. So it makes sense that in the assessment of wearing masks, that a lot of men are looking at this in terms of weakness and strength, in terms of power, who has it, who doesn't, and what does it mean if you wear a mask? And instead of viewing it as like, oh, well, the Lone Ranger wears a mask and, you know, he's cool and I can wear a mask and be cool and be strong and be masculine, a lot of men are looking at it as a sign of weakness, which is kind of ironic, because where you are more likely to get a weakness is if you get the virus, right. You will be physically weakened, unable to protect your family, unable to be there for them. You may be on in a hospital, not protecting your family, or God forbid, on a respirator, or even worse. So the assessment is really obviously incorrect and unhealthy. And also, as we know, men don't tend to be particularly great at self-care. That when we look at the statistics and the studies about getting regular checkups, getting colonoscopies, getting, you know, all the various different things that men need to do, and I'm sure James can really speak on this as a nurse practitioner, that it's much harder to get men into a doctor's office to get a checkup. And typically men who are not in a relationship, and I've seen more studies about heterosexual relationships than same-sex relationships, but typically it is the woman who is saying, go to the doctor, it's time for your checkup, let me book that appointment for you. And when men are not in relationships, they tend to have poorer health and not be as good about taking care of their health. So it makes sense that this extends to masks, which is really a health issue more than anything, but it's unfortunately become a psychological issue and even a political issue.
Well, I think you really nailed it there, Dr. Jen, about it being a political issue, a psychological issue, a health issue. You are 100% correct. The strategies we sort of need to use to encourage people to do things, particularly in a preventative health standpoint, are very different for, like, female-identified heads of household versus men in general, or depending on the particular family dynamic. And one of the things that seems to not work, and I know we're generalizing here, but there is data behind this. One of the things that seems to not work with men is shaming. And a lot of people are realizing this. You can't really shame someone into doing this, these habits, or wearing a mask, because it almost has the opposite effect, right? Men tend to, like, dig their heels in a little bit more. And Dr. Jen, I'm just wondering, sort of from your experience, so if we know we can't really shame guys into wearing masks, what are some of the other kind of strategies strategies of the men that we love in our life who might be a little bit more resistant to wearing a mask.
Appealing to strength as opposed to weakness. And what this study that this Huffington Post article talked about revealed is that when you tell men you need to do this, take care of your family, they feel more resentful and they feel like, who the hell are you telling me how to take care of my family? But when there's an appeal to taking care of the community, men seem to wear their masks more. I also think that time you see a photograph of a man who the man you're hoping to wear a mask respects, that you can share with them, whether it be a sports star, a celebrity, a politician, that's a really good way to do it. Also, supplying masks that that guy really likes. Maybe it's a sports team logo or a phrase or a saying or a fabric that he particularly likes, that could be really helpful.
When we get back, I want to dive further into men and self-care, because wearing your mask really is a form of self-care. And I really think it's amazing that you put it that way. More with Dr. Jen when we get back right here on Drop the Subject.
Drop the Subject, the new Channel Q.
Welcome back to Drop the Subject with Allie and James. We're talking to Dr. Jen Mann, our favorite licensed psychotherapist, who we always chat every week with about anything mental health related going on in the world. This week, we're talking about people in general not wanting to wear masks, but specifically why this is a problem among men. And Dr. Jen, you mentioned that wearing a mask is definitely a part of self-care. And I know you mentioned that statistically men aren't as great with self-care, even when it comes to preventative care and medical care. Do you feel like that's changing? Is that something that you try to improve upon in your practice directly when working with men?
Absolutely. It's something that I am constantly processing and discussing with men and trying to put it in context. And again, we talked before the break about how gender psychology studies show that men tend to view things in a hierarchical fashion. This is why most men don't like to ask for directions, because the person who's supplying the directions is the one in power. They have the information and it's up to them to enforce the information. It's the same thing with the checkup. The doctor is the one in power when you're viewing things in a hierarchical way. So it makes it harder to go in for a checkup if you view things that way, because you're then in a vulnerable position. And most men, according to gender studies, don't like to be in that vulnerable position. So it's an important part of the therapy and work with men to shift that view, to help them to see that actually, look, the best thing that you can do that shows strength is A, be willing to be vulnerable, and B, live a long, healthy life so you can be there to fight for your family and to do all of the things that you want to do. So it definitely is a part of therapy and a part of men's health. And anyone who cares about men needs to be discussing this with men and helping them to put it in perspective.
I know if you remember a couple of weeks ago, Congressman Louis Gohmert, who was a fierce anti-masker, almost a conspiracy theorist about COVID, and was like, I didn't wear a mask for months and months and months. I finally put a mask on, and then I got COVID-19.
Oh, geez.
And he says, well, maybe the mask actually caused me to get this.
Oh, it's no.
Right. It seems so much like kind of generalizing here, but is this something that tends to happen a little bit more in men, that even when the proof is in the test, the proof is in the pudding, you didn't wear your mask, you got COVID-19, and then you still go back to blaming the mask?
Well, I think that we all have biases. And I think that if you're someone who has a bias against wearing a mask, and you finally decide to wear a mask, you're probably wearing a mask because the numbers are rising in your community or your state, and that you wear a mask and you happen to get COVID around that time. Well, first of all, as you know, as a medical professional, your exposure occurred anywhere from probably 3 days to 24 days prior to your actual test results showing that you got it.
Mm-hmm.
Unless someone has coughed on your mask with COVID and then handed it to you, you're right. Not a mask. It makes no sense scientifically. So I think that what that shows is that we all have biases. And that's irregardless of gender. And if you have someone who has a bias against wearing a mask, they start to wear a mask and then happen to test positive for COVID, they may try to create a link in their mind because that's what their bias is. And I think that it's important that we are very aware of our biases, especially in a pandemic, and right. that we are able to really look at the scientific facts as we know them to be. And unfortunately, that's constantly changing and evolving because we know so little about this virus. It is so new, and the information is constantly changing. And also, there are a lot of filters on the information that we're getting that are concerning. That at one point, the CDC was saying, for example, don't wear a mask. And then later they were revealed, well, the only reason why we said that was because there were not enough masks that were available for health professionals. So we were giving this biased information because we had to protect healthcare professionals, but no, you really should wear a mask.
Right.
When it comes to just wearing a mask in general, I know that there's been this whole like political aspect of, oh, you're taking away my freedoms or whatever. But is there a psychological aspect to covering your face and covering your mask and anxiety or fear around having part of yourself covered up?
Well, I think that a lot of people who are claustrophobic do have anxiety around that. And, you know, anyone who has spent a lot of time wearing a mask, who's not used to it, myself included, you know, when I do unboxings of like Amazon packages, I wear a mask and, you know, the whole thing and gloves and the face shield and all of that sort of stuff. And at the beginning, when I started doing it, like I was having trouble breathing, like I was claustrophobic, but it took me a while to kind of adjust to it and also kind of experiment with different kinds of masks that fit differently and kind of figure out sort of what I needed to do. That said, I have a lot of doctors in my private practice who are wearing masks every day, all the time. And there's also been some incorrect information about oxygen and masks and carbon dioxide that is just completely untrue. And if it were true, all of our doctors and nurses would be dead because they wear masks all day long and did prior to this. So,
bingo.
I think that sometimes our psychology and our anxieties get the best of us with this. And that what we just have to do is practice wearing a mask and really look at our self-talk, because when we think we're going to have trouble breathing in a mask, we start to have trouble breathing in a mask. When we say like, hey, this is safe. Doctors wear this for, you know, 20 hours a day and they're just fine and I'm going to be fine, I think we respond very differently.
I will tell you that there's really only one or two conditions that I can think of in all of my medical experience that would prevent someone from needing to wear a mask at a time. Otherwise, you can wear a mask. It's okay. I have done it for 5 or 6 days in a row, 12 to 14 hours at a time. I promise you, it is okay. Dr. Jen Mann, thank you so much. We love having you on. What a fascinating conversation. Be sure to, of course, follow Dr. Jen at Dr. Jen Mann, two N's on Jen, two N's on Mann. Read her weekly column in InStyle magazine on Hump Day every Wednesday. Dr. Jen, we will talk to you next week.
I look forward to it.
Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
Drop the subject presents News It or Lose It.
It's that time. That's right. News It or Lose It time. I've got two headlines. James has two headlines, but each of us can only news one of them. The other we will lose. It will be lost in the abyss.
News
in another dimension
for
the end of time. Ah, do you have your dinger danger finger?
There you are.
Thank you. And mine? Thank you. Here are your headlines, James.
I do all the work on this show. Okay, go ahead.
Headline number onesies. Couple gets caught in $4 million gambling scheme.
I kind of love casino gambly wamblies, like it's Ocean's 8, 11, 12, 14, 17. I want to star in one. Okay. The all queer one. I'm out there. Casting directors, you hear me? Let's go. I'm newsing it.
Ah, so you're losing the second headline, which is here's where to find the best pickles in Los Angeles. Oh, so sad. You'll never know.
Damn it. I mean, we have right. more than Los Angeles listeners here. So you and I will just have to talk about that at another time because we never talk off the air.
I know.
Headline number one. For you, Herman Cain died 2 weeks ago, so why is he bashing Kamala Harris on Twitter?
Oh, Jesus. Lose it. Lose.
I just thought it was kind of funny that Herman Cain started tweeting yesterday about Kamala Harris, but he died. of COVID after going to a rally in Tulsa. Okay, so this is what you get then. You got to hear about it. I'm so sorry because I was never really a fan. Jackass star Steve-O duct tapes himself to a billboard in LA to promote new comedy special and is forced down by firefighters after he gets reported on Crime Alert app Citizen. Worst headline ever.
And longest.
Yeah.
But I will news it because I have to. And yes, I was never a big fan of Jackass either. It was part of that Tom Green, hey, we're just going to do stupid stuff and like put our butt on things.
I think that there is this, not to be too PC about every freaking thing, but I get it. Like, I like people falling and stuff like that. Like, I think it's kind of funny. Like, I laugh at those things. But I think there was something even in me in like high school, college, whenever these things were around that I was like, this must be the ultimate. I wasn't calling it privilege at the time, but I was like, this must just be the ultimate in the concept of privilege, that you just got enough money and you don't have a freaking care in the world that you can just go like push your buddy in a shopping cart down a hill and break three legs and then heal and be fine and then go out and do it again. Like, I was like, screw you, buddy. Some of us got to work 19 jobs and go to school and support our families and not try to get killed by police and all those. Like, I think I knew that as a concept when I was younger, which is why I hated it.
Right. And then you also, on top of it all, are probably the one who ends up having to fix their leg.
Right. Bruh, why is my kneecap coming out of my eyebrow?
I burned my skin off in a bet. And you're like, okay, now I have to treat you for third degree burns, now I dumbass. Have to treat you.
Well, dumbass Steve-O, who I'm glad to hear that he's a nice guy. He's made a career out of doing dumb things, so good for him. He duct taped himself to a billboard alley in Hollywood yesterday and wasn't up there for very long. He was on a billboard advertising his new comedy special. Ha ha. Got it. See, he's doing that thing where people like pay attention
he's
to
putting
me.
He's putting himself on a billboard.
He's putting himself, like literally putting himself on a billboard. So he did that and he's in his what looks like a diaper. Surprise. He's got some horrible tattoos because the only thing he's wearing is this diaper. He's got some horrible tattoos. Once the LA fire department, God bless you, came and de-duct taped him and pulled him down. He's got like, you know, the lady outline of the lady sitting back, leaning back with the boobs sticking out that people would have on the back of their trucks. Mm-hmm. He has that in a woman who's probably like a size 24 or 26. I'm sure he thought it was funny. It's not.
He has that where?
On his body, on his stomach. So
as a tattoo?
Yeah, whatever. I can't. God bless the Citizen app, though, because it alerted me to this, by the way.
Good. I'm glad that James got alerted about Steve-O's activities yesterday. Uh-huh. All right. A couple has been charged in a multi-million-dollar gambling scheme. Here's what happened. So the married couple, the woman whose name is Khan, ironically,
nice.
They were conning the casino, she was worked at the casino as a car dealer. So they cheated at Baccarat. And Baccarat, I believe, is a probability game. And people bet like crazy on that game. Uh-huh. And people will win a lot of money on that game, too, if you're really, really like Rain Man about the numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
And so she had this nice sleight of hand thing going where she would shuffle and she would be able to take a teensy weensy peek at the cards and find a way to signal to her husband, who would be playing at the table,
what
the cards were going to be, and he would bet accordingly.
No.
So he won over and over and over again to the point where they had accumulated $4 million before they got caught.
Stop
and the casino
it.
Was like, hold on a minute, there's something going on here. And this was up in Livermore, up in the Bay Area.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Now, wait, what happens with that $4 million? Like, I cannot, I'm sure they put it in houses and cars and saved it, like, what happens
with
that?
Yeah, I think they gotta pay, and then they'll say, no, we don't have any money. And then they'll be like, okay, well, you have to do community service for the rest of your life.
Worth it?
Well, I mean, kind of. Why did they stop at four? Oh, wait, right. Because they got arrested.
Because they got caught.
That is it for News It or Lose It. More Drop the Subject on the way. We're going to talk about mail-in voting and why Trump is against it when we come back.
Drop the Subject. The new Channel Q.
Yes, Drop the Subject. That's right. You came to the right place. If you missed anything, we have covered much, much, much on the show today. And you definitely want to download that podcast. It's here for you whenever you miss it. Hey, you don't have to worry about going to the bathroom and being like, no, I missed everything. What was the camp? What game was that couple gambling on? How did they screw everybody out of money? How did they do it? And you're like, oh, good thing I have the podcast so I can download everything and not miss a moment.
Ta-da!
Well, Let's talk about mail-in ballots, shall we? It is such a hot topic. The USPS has become surprisingly a hot topic this year. First of all, it was about the Bugs Bunny and drag stamps, and now this. Now the U.S. Postal Service is kind of in a precarious situation because they need funding because they're the U.S. Postal Service. They've been struggling for a while, but also people are ordering things like crazy right now, and they need to be operational. Plus, everybody's going to be doing mail-in ballots this November. No one's going to want to go to the polls if this, especially if what's-his-name Robert Redford said that the it's going to be the worst fall ever, right, James?
Redfield, yeah. I'm sure Robert Redford probably said the same thing, but, you know. I'm sure Robert Redfield would also like to be played by Robert Redford.
I would agree.
But he did. And this is, Allie, this is crazy because already, so California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Oregon, Utah, Vermont, and Washington, D.C., and yes, I'm reading that, are automatically sending people mail-in ballots already ahead of time. They're saying, you're gonna vote by mail. And so we know this is happening, right? Just like you were saying, people aren't gonna wanna stand in lines. Coronavirus is a thing. But the U.S. Postal Service is like failing. They are struggling big time. They have been for years. And so the Democrats have been saying, let's send them more money so they can handle all of the mail-in ballots so we do it the right way and we elect the correct person or, you know, who do people want for the presidency. And so DJ got on Fox Business with Maria Bartiromo on Thursday and basically said, long story short, he said, I'm not going to give the U.S. Postal Service any money. And Maria Bartiromo was like, why? And he basically is like, so that they can't do mail-in ballots. This is the wildest, wildest thing.
They want $25 billion, billion, for the post office. Now, they need that money in order to have the post office work so it can take all of these millions and millions of ballots. Now, in the meantime, they aren't getting there. By the way, those are just two items. But if they don't get those two items, that means you can't have universal mail-in voting because they're not equipped to have it. They want.
Well, what the hell is this asshat talking about?
That's why I sort of had to like sum it up because it's a little, even Maria Bartiromo, who's like, whatever. But she was like, what? Wait, what? What are you talking about? And he basically goes on to say, like, everyone had a fit over this. Understandably so. Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, like other news outlets, even on Fox News, they were like, wait a minute. First of all, there's been very, very few documented cases of actual mail-in voter fraud in the history of being able to mail in your vote in this country. It's very rare. And it not really ever happened on a national level. And how else are people going to vote? Like you, even the Republicans, even the people who want to vote for Donald Trump, like how are they going to vote, dude? Like, you can't do this.
Well, and it's part of the relief package for coronavirus. So the Democrats are like, here's part of the relief package. We need to also allocate some money for the U.S. Postal Service so they can survive and handle all the mail. Like in general, not just specific to the election, in general.
Right.
Trump is refusing to sign the coronavirus relief package because of the election. So directly costing the lives of more people in this country because of his own damn election, because of his own selfishness. I mean, it's just, this man continues to put himself first and to put other people's lives in danger and to literally kill people. He's literally been killing thousands of people.
Yep.
Cool. Let's take a break. We'll drop the subject when we come back.
Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
Well, unfortunately, it is time to say goodbye here on Drop the Subject. But the good news is that we love hearing from you and we have heard from some of you. Wanted to share a couple of messages that we got recently. I'm Allie, here with Dr. James Simmons, my lovely co-host.
Hello.
And it's been another fantastic week together. We're so glad we can bring you the show every day. And if you like what you're hearing, give us a follow, give us a like. It really helps us out at DTS Show on Twitter and on Instagram. And of course, downloading that podcast. You can also check out the show via robot by telling Alexa or Google Home or whatever robot lady runs your household. You can just tell her to put on Channel Q and she will do so. Got a new message from a listener, a newish listener named John, who wrote to us and said, Hi, guys. No, they didn't say hi, guys. They said, hi, Allie. Just wanted to say that you and James give me life every day. And you two have amazing chemistry, even via Zoom. I stumbled across Channel Q by accident earlier this year and have been a fan ever since. I've been off work since April, and the entire Channel Q lineup from sunrise to sunset has made the lockdown a little more bearable. I find myself laughing out loud daily, and passersby probably think I'm crazy as I laugh and talk to myself, listening to you two carry on while I'm driving. Aww. Thank you. Thank you for the daily entertainment. Virtual hugs. Signed, Channel Q fan who now talks to himself.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. That's like the nicest message ever.
I know. Thank you so much, John. John P. On Instagram. We absolutely appreciate it. Yes, it's so nice to hear from you guys. From you all.
Y'all. You can do it.
So hard.
Y'all.
All right, I'll do it. I also got a message that I wanted to share with you all. Mish on Instagram reached out to me directly and said, could you please look into this story and spread the word? This is a family member of hers, and this is a story that you may have seen making the rounds, but it needs some more attention. The hashtag justice for Tiana Arata. Tiana Arata is a 20-year-old protester who's been out and been extremely active this year in terms of all the protests that have been going on. She's been actively protesting for a long time, and she was arrested, and she's now looking at 15 years for protesting. And Mish says
15 years.
She's her cousin, yeah, and she is just a very positive light in this world, and she needs any and all help. So if you just search the hashtag justice for Tiana Arata, that's justice for TiannaArata, and you can I'm seeing a post here from Taraji P. Henson, who's spreading the word about her case as well. So I hope that if you search the hashtag, which I'm going to do right now, there are ways to help. I'm sure a petition or to donate or something of that nature.
Yeah, I actually just literally while we were doing this, I Googled Allie some things, and there's a Facebook page where you can go to as well. If you just type in, you know, Tiana Arata and some other places where you can go. There's actually there's a bail fund that they're putting together right now as well. And there's a GoFundMe campaign, and then there's also a petition as well. And that petition is very specifically asking them to drop the charges against Tiana Arata. And this was actually in San Luis Obispo here in California. So definitely do that. And as well, I want to be sure and mention Brett Hankinson, Jonathan Mattingly, and Miles Cosgrove, the three officers who shot and killed Breonna Taylor. It has been 150 days. Exactly. Yeah. 151 days. Sorry. And they have not been arrested yet. And there's really no movement in the case. And I know we've talked about before that this is a really complicated issue. But at the end of the day, as more details slowly leak out about what we know about that day, we know that it's actually worse than what our nightmares probably were, and that there has been no justice for Breonna Taylor as well. So as I said on my Instagram, I reposted from somebody else, just because your feed is back to normal doesn't mean that Black lives don't matter anymore. They still do. Yep. And we still have a lot of work to do. And thank you, listeners, not only for all the love, but also for bringing attention to stories that we want to be sure to share with everyone.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you for holding us accountable. Thank you for sharing these. And we will continue to share them and spread the word. I'll put this on my Instagram story as well. I'll put it on ours at DTS Show and at Your Allie Johnson so that you can get all the information you need. It's been a pleasure hanging out with you for another exciting week. And we look forward to much more. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.
Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.